I think a lot of times too, the reality is we're saying, Lord, what can I do? How can I be used? But we're not spending enough time in the Word. We're not spending enough time on our knees. So you can keep asking till you're blue in the face, God, should I go here? Should I do that? But there's a time where I think when you need to just sit and quiet yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And when he does, it's not only an edification for your own soul. It is an encouragement for his overarching plan, the redemption of all of mankind and the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the 12th episode of the Made for Missions podcast. I am Mike Falkenstein, president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst, and I'm so glad that you're with me, particularly because one of my good buddies, I've got a chance to interview him today, David Joannis, the president and founder at Within Reach Global. And from what I hear on the streets, one heck of a square dancer. So excited to have Mr. David Joannis with us. And David and I, as you'll hear, have known each other for 4 or 5 years. And just one of those guys that you're just happy to know. I know that's true for me. A guy that has a deep heart for God's word, a deep heart to reach the lost. Coming to us in this podcast interview from Chiang Mai, Thailand, a place that I got to visit a couple of years ago. And as you can tell by the opening clip, this is a guy that gets it. And so I'm just really excited. I want to thank you for coming and joining us on this episode. I want to thank David for joining us for this episode as well. Sure appreciate you, brother. Enjoy the episode, and I'll be back at the end of the episode for some final comments. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. And I am so glad to be able to have another interview episode for you all. And it's been fun to be able to get to know our next guest over the last 3 or 4 years. And I have with me today David Joannis, who runs an organization out of Chiang Mai, Thailand, Within Reach Global. David, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And yeah, I can't believe it's been 3, 4, maybe 5 years since we've been doing all kinds of online videos and connecting from around the world.
That's right. In fact, this is the kind of the new wave of, what we do with our ministries, right? I mean, you and I actually got to know each other literally online, and we're doing actually some online content, getting to know each other that way before we even met in person, didn't we?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So that's how relationships are moving now. And in a post COVID-19 world, things are going to be changing of how we connect with people, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Well, David, before we get into our three questions that I have for you, let me just give you an opportunity just to tell folks a little bit about who you are, what you do with your ministry. Give folks just kind of the minute or two, kind of a introduction to you, your family, and your ministry.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that opportunity. My name is David Joannis. Many years ago, when I was 18, I moved to China and got stuck there for many years. Began my overseas missionary career. And through that, after meeting my wife, we pioneered an organization called Within Reach Global, seeking to reach unreached people groups in the 1040 window, specifically Southeast Asia. A team of local indigenous missionaries rose up, and it has become mostly local-led now. We've released the ministry to them in China, restarting here in Thailand, pioneering new efforts, and in the meantime, writing books and doing online podcasts. So that's me in a nutshell, and I think we'll get into a little bit more detail soon.
That's really great. Yeah, it was fun for me. When was that? A couple of years ago, I got a chance to be with you guys in Thailand, and it's fun to be able to see all that's happening there. And you're even connected with a printing press there, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, I am the social media and marketing manager at Axco Printing here in Thailand. That's how we obtain our visa and through a long-term friendship. So I've got my hands in a lot of things. And then plus on top of that, 6 months ago, we adopted a little girl from Thailand. So
that's great.
There's never a dull moment around here.
Yeah, that's been so fun to see the pictures of her and how she seems like she's adjusting well to your family. And
yes,
what a special thing for you guys, I'm sure.
Yes, it is very much. It's been a great journey.
That's really great. Well, David, before we talk about anything else, give us a little bit of background about sort of how you came to Christ. I know, you know, you're an American, and so I think you're from Arizona. Is that right?
Yes.
So give folks kind of the story of how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I hold an American passport, Mike, but I'm not sure if I'm American anymore. I haven't been in America for 23 years. No,
that's
I still am. But I grew up in a Christian home. I'm the eldest of 8 children. And so we were going to church, you know, we memorized Bible scriptures together as a family. And so it was natural for us to be in that Christian realm. I do remember, though, when I was very young, I'd be digging in the backyard in the sandbox, and I'd be thinking, I wonder if I could dig a hole from here to China. And, you know, I don't know where I picked that up from. You know, my mom would say, eat your vegetables, starving kids in China type thing. And so there was this kind of strange desire for something far away and exotic. And in fact, I used to have this reoccurring dream. I've had it so many times I can't remember, where I'm on this cliff and it's zoomed in on my face and I'm sweating and I'm hearing millions of voices saying, David, David. And then the camera zooms out in my dream to me on this cliff, sheer rock high as you can see and as far down as you can see. And I almost interpreted it like there's all these souls calling me from abroad saying, come, come, bring us this message. It was a powerful call, it seemed to me. And after going on a few short-term mission trips with Teen Mania Ministries, I was 15 when I first went from Arizona to Russia. That's when suddenly, you know, my small little box of my Christian world exploded and revealed to me, you know, not all is well in the distant horizons. And I think we have that tendency to be stuck in a box. And I certainly was. Good upbringing, Christian family. But, you know, I loved the Lord, but I wasn't sure how to put that into motion or put that into action and really create a witness. So for me specifically, the Lord called me overseas. But that initial spark began early, seemingly with the Holy Spirit just speaking to my life. And it's hard for me to even pinpoint why and how. He just had this call and somehow I heard this voice, you know?
Wow, that's great. And David, one thing that I'll highlight and ask you about is it seems like that a short-term missions trip opportunity is at least in part what God really used to give you this call, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you could talk about all the negative things, all the positive things about short-term missions, but what it does do is it opens your eyes to catch a glimpse of the reality of the world and what God is doing. And his heart is big. You know, it does not only include our zip code, our city, our state, our country. It does include the peoples and nations and tribes from around the world. How does he love me as much as he loves that man in Timbuktu? You know, God's heart is just so big. So that short-term trip, man, that is what catapulted me into a new realm of ministry.
That's really great. And I have a very similar story. And so I like to hear that and I bring it out because at least in some mission circles, you know, there is kind of this talk about, you know, is the short-term missions trip still something that we should be emphasizing? And I always give it kind of a yes and no, right? If it's a Christian vacation, essentially, yeah, then probably not, right? But if there is an opportunity to serve along, you know, nationals and or serve the missionaries that are on the ground, certainly there is a lot of value to that. And even if it is only for a Mike and a David to call us into, you know, a lifetime of, you know, service, Christian service, there is some value there, isn't there?
Yeah. And I think what it points to is intentionality. If you're not going to be intentional in your own hometown, reaching out, connecting, sharing, spreading abroad the love of Jesus, you're not going to somehow get some magic from a long plane ride and begin doing that overseas. But it does thrust you into positions where you have no choice but to open your mouth and speak, not just preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words, but to actually open your mouth and bring a witness of the gospel verbally.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, and then the other reason to bring that out, of course, is for anyone listening. Boy, I always just tell people, yeah, obviously find a good organization or church to be able to, you know, to go overseas, but go on that trip because, you know, that is a neat opportunity that God can use, I think, in your life. And so David, so you've come to Christ, you did these initial trips to Russia. And I think you took another trip into Asia at one point. And so get into that a little bit more in terms of a turning point for you in terms of, okay, I know Jesus has died on the cross. I might even know that there are some opportunities to serve overseas. Two, boy, I need to get involved personally in, you know, God's work of evangelism and making disciples. You know, give people kind of that, the deeper sort of look into what was that turning point between, yes, I am a Christian, to, boy, I really am called to actually put that faith into action.
Yeah, well, I think what you're getting at is transferring that, not only the reality that Jesus is our Savior, but that He is our Lord. And I think that's what you're really pointing at here. When the Lordship of Jesus becomes real in our life, we naturally say, I'm willing to go anywhere and eat anything and sleep anywhere and do anything for your glory. I was young, 13, 14 in my youth group. I was living the American life. I thought about China here and there, but I could have just stayed where I was. I could have done outreach where I was, and there would have been some sort of blessing and impact that was made. But these short-term trips really opened my eyes to a bigger, kind of more macro picture of what God was doing around the world. I then, in 95, went to Hong Kong and China, smuggling Bibles from Hong Kong into China. Mm. And I remember, so backing up, I was 3 years old in 1982, looking at National Geographic magazine, flipping through the pages. I turned to my mommy once I saw, you know, picture of this Asian guy walking through a rice terrace. And I said, Mommy, I want to bring bread to the kids in China. Like I said, I don't know why I said these kinds of things about China back in that time. But fast forward to that 1995 trip. We're packing Bibles into our backpacks, into our socks, tracks in our pockets, loading up, going through this labyrinthine kind of customs turnstiles from Hong Kong into China, the Luo border. Mm. But we didn't call them bread. We didn't call them Bibles. We called them bread. That was our code word for Bibles. Okay.
Okay.
So this was the moment I'm getting at in a moment here, that something shifted in me when it all kind of clicked. I walked in from Hong Kong into Shenzhen, China, that's Southeast China on the border of Hong Kong. Mm. It was raining. The sewers had flooded. The water had rose around my knees. It was a nasty picture. And I'm kind of carrying these Bibles, what we called bread, into China. And I really suddenly felt the Holy Spirit speak. It was like everything was turned slow motion and everything turned black and white in my memory. And the Holy Spirit said, you are bringing bread to the people of China.
Mm.
You know, that was something I said 12, 13 years earlier. And suddenly I'm there. And it was as if it was full circle. Like, David, you were made for this. And I think that's a lot of times how the Lord works, bringing to remembrance some early call or touch or message that was spoken to us that somehow all of a sudden clicks. And for me, it did. I remember that night in Hong Kong, standing on top of a flat roof where most of the roofs are like that, looking out over this lush green landscape with the Buddhist monasteries and crematoriums, smoke rising up in the distance. And I said, Lord, you can have my life for China and for Asia. And that was the pivotal moment, not because I said, you know, I am now going to give myself to your work. It's because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and reminded me of the early callings. And that just really was the moment that I think that I gave my whole self to the mission's call.
Wow, that's powerful. That's really great. Well, David, that's a great point for us to take a little break. We'll have our friend Tom Mueller say a few words and bring us a little message. And when we get back, David, I want to talk about a couple of things. One being, as in your role with what you do with InReach Global, you know, a little bit about kind of what you're seeing, you know, in the landscape of, you know, helping people, you know, find out what God wants to do with their lives. And as you're speaking in churches, and then we'll talk about the church itself and, you know, any advice you'd have for church leaders that are listening. But let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
Well, everyone, thank you again for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. And again, I do have my good buddy David Joannis with me coming to us from Thailand. And David, I've seen online something about your city in Thailand being one of the most polluted cities in all of Asia or something like that. I thought all the Chinese cities had that title.
Well, Chiang Mai to the rescue. Here we are usurping China's roles and titles. No, every year we have what's called slash and burn or burning season, where the farmers, you know, light these fires around the city. Chiang Mai's in a bowl, basically, surrounded by mountains. And for 2 months, the smoke just billows down into the valley of Chiang Mai. And it will get up the air quality index, AQI. Typically, let's say Los Angeles is around 30, 35 for semi-polluted city in America. Well, we'll get up to 600-800 on the AQI here. And it is most certainly, now it's over now, but just for 2 months, we are definitely the most polluted city in the world.
Oh, okay. So this is not a 12 months a year kind of thing. It's just a couple months.
That is correct.
Kind of power through and.
Yeah,
that's really something.
So wearing masks for us is nothing to do with COVID. We've been doing that for a long time.
Oh, right. That's just a part of your daily sort of routine. That's funny. Well, so David, I'm curious to know, because, you know, I think, you know, as I hear your story, I can already hear some of the listeners kind of go, yeah, you know, that's such a thing that, you know, for those people called overseas that, you know, I certainly would never hear anything like that, or I would never have that opportunity. And so I'm wondering, I know you're speaking in a lot of churches and, you know, you're interacting with a lot of folks that probably are in that same, boat. I'm wondering if you'd have some words for someone listening that goes, you know, I've accepted Christ. I potentially want to be used, but I don't even really know how to go from here. Would there be some kind of 2 or 3 things you'd say, well, here's really the key. Here's what you need to be focusing on.
Yeah. You know, I wish I could give those 2 or 3 points, but I do think it's different for every person. I will definitely give a couple practical tips. I think that we can learn to hear the voice of God, but of course it is different for every person. Right. And also, God is not calling every one of us to go overseas to become a long-term missionary, you know, far-off country. However, our God is a global God. We need to be global Christians. So when Jesus says Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses after the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, this is all happening simultaneously. And I think many times we read our Bible through the Western lens, and we've come to understand it in such an individualistic state, maybe even a consumeristic style, right? So when we read all these scriptures, we look at it for the encouragement or uplifting of my own personal spirit, my own personal soul, my walk with Jesus. Whereas I think much of the rest of the world does not, and how the Bible was originally written was in a communal aspect. So we see that my life impacts others in our society and our community. I think when we read the Bible and see God's overarching theme, that Abrahamic covenant, and even back earlier in Genesis, that God is calling us to be blessed and thus to be a blessing to the nations. When we start to realize that theme throughout the scripture, that God is a missions God, a missionary God, and he's calling us to live that missional life, that really begins to stir in us something that wants to reach out for the name of Jesus. I think a lot of times too, the reality is we're saying, Lord, what can I do? How can I be used? But we're not spending enough time in the word. We're not spending enough time on our knees. So you can keep asking till you're blue in the face. God, should I go here? Should I do that? But there's a time where I think when you need to just sit and quiet yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And when he does, it's not only an edification for your own soul. It is an encouragement for his overarching plan, the redemption of all of mankind and the world. And so I think a couple things. Spend some time on your knees. Quiet yourself even from the monotony or busyness of ministry. Sometimes we become so busy with ministry. I know I'm faulty. I'm do this as well. You know, I'm
That's
so
right.
busy with feeding programs and trips to unreached villages, and that I forget to actually sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. I don't want to be that Martha. So take a moment to pull yourself away. Get back to that first love. And there, I think the Holy Spirit has a place to speak, and maybe your ears are more attuned. And then start taking intentional steps. You know, when we put ourselves in awkward positions, I feel like God really has a place to move. You know, whether it be an awkward conversation at the checkout lane at the supermarket, or, you know, laying your hands on someone for prayer at the local park. It is awkward and you feel like a, you know, Jesus freak, or some people label you a weirdo. But that's where I've found that God has the ability to move. Look at all of the New Testament. Look at Acts. Everything they did was so upside down compared to the society. But God flips the world on its head and it becomes right and how the kingdom actually works in the world. So that intentionality, also stepping out of your comfort zone, hearing from the voice of God, and I think he'll direct a moving car rather than a parked one.
Yeah, that's right. And that reminds me, David, of what I tell people a lot of times in this area, which is, you know, as we read John 15, and I even in my own life, I'm having to look and say, okay, what does it really mean to abide in Jesus? And man, that's just sort of remain in and, you know, be close to. And, you know, that really is sort of a daily discipline, right, that we have to be working on. And what Jesus tells us is, you know, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. And so if you are interested in being used of God and bearing fruit, it really does begin in that, you know, abiding in Christ, right? And it's really hard to hear from God if you're never speaking to him, right? I mean, if that line of communication isn't open, it's really hard.
Yeah, and Mike, I think you're a great advocate of this, because you're always talking about missions and missions work, missionary heart, through the lens of our deep relationship with Jesus and his lordship in our lives. That's the theme I hear, like everything you speak and share. Mm-hmm. And right. I think it's powerful. It is true that when you spend time at Jesus' feet, it causes you to do things that are atypical and unnatural, and therefore kind of guide you into this overarching plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Well, David, one final thing for you before I let you go. You know, obviously there is this responsibility that we as Christians have to, again, to abide in Christ, and, you know, to see. Him then use us in atypical ways, as you mentioned. I'm wondering too, just what, if there are church leaders that are listening, you know, I have an interest on both sides of this, given the two books I've written recently are the six marks of a disciple of Jesus and the six marks of a church that makes disciples. And so I am curious to know your thoughts about kind of the number, if there are church leaders listening, kind of the number one thing that the, at least the Western church, and it might, you might be able to expand it since you haven't lived in the West, as you mentioned, in 20 something years, but you know, other churches that could, they could do to enable their congregations to be fully devoted followers that then are bearing Christ, bearing fruit for Christ. What advice would you have if there are some church leaders that are listening as well?
Yeah, you know, I think it's time to implement a little bit of theology of suffering. We always gravitate towards the promises of Jesus that are comfortable, but what about those ones that say, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you, and you will suffer, and you will have, on this earth, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. You know, so as we see during this COVID-19 crisis, the whole world is having this shared experience together. We are undergoing difficulties and trials. This is natural in the world we live in. I think that we've been, you know, shall we say, in a bit of a greenhouse or maybe even a bubble, because we are secured economically, financially, in many ways, from the crises in the world, the poverty, the hunger, desperation in the West, that we haven't had that theology of suffering. We haven't needed to. But now that we kind of get out of our little bubble, I hope this gives us the opportunity to, implementing a theology of suffering is going to be radically transformative for your congregation. Because then you begin to see that this is taking place all over the world. I know we're bombarded with news in America, but if we could just stop reading or listen to Fox News and or CNN and get on South China Morning Post or the Myanmar Times and realize, okay, we're in the 70th year of the Burma conflict. You know, the Rohingya are still being exterminated. There is tribal wars in East Africa. You know, people, underground Christians in China are being jailed and having cigarette butt burns on their faces. If we realize this is happening, we come to grips with the reality that we are living in the last of the last days. Suffering is part of the equation, as we see in Matthew 24, the culmination, that is verse 14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation, and then the end will come." Amidst all this suffering, once we have that in mind, that suffering is a part of the equation, that culmination is the gospel must go forth. I kind of see that happening during this crisis. There's opportunity to kind of be more intentional in our outreach. And I think that's a big aspect of bringing our congregation deeper into the heart of God for him, yes, and for people.
Wow, that's right. And potentially a lot to say about that. And so that may open up an opportunity for you to come back for another episode of the podcast, of course. But I think you're right. And, you know, of course, people are going to get tired of hearing me say this, but I think hopefully part of what the Western church is learning too is that, you know, this emphasis on the Sunday morning experience and making that so important is, well, at least for now, it's
being challenged.
It's being challenged. And, you know, I mean,
it's irrelevant.
it's really not happening right now. The important part, of course, is, you know, how are your people doing and are they growing and, you know, how are they doing at reaching out to their neighbors? And, you know, there's just other things. I hope the importance for them or what they feel is important, you know, shifts, of course. So, David, if folks wanted to learn more about you, about your ministry, what are the best ways for them to be able to do that?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. DavidJoannis.com. If you don't know how to spell that, I'm sure it's in a description somewhere here. DavidJoannis.com is my personal website. WithinReachGlobal.org is our ministry website. We have short-term missions trips, opportunities, some books that I've written, and then Missions Pulse podcast on YouTube. It's easy to get in touch with us. I think at DavidJoannis.com, you'll see all the links there, social media. And we love connecting with like-minded people who say, yeah, I want to make Jesus famous among the nations. Hey, you're the kind of person we want to get in touch with.
That's really great. And I would just highlight the Missions Pulse podcast, because I know that it's something, not only have you put a lot of effort into it, but you can tell it's well done And And you've actually gone with sort of the video podcast format, which is really great. And, you know, more and more people are now able to watch. I know we can watch YouTube right on our TV, you know, and so rather than a half hour, whatever, Friends episode or The Office, this is good quality content you can just watch on TV. So I would encourage people to get in touch with you guys on YouTube, especially. So, well, David, thanks so much for your time, and we appreciate you, and we'll look forward to having you back on the podcast here before too long.
Thank you, Mike. So proud of all you're doing to extend the kingdom of God. Thank you for this opportunity.
Wow, what a fantastic podcast episode. Thank you again to David Joannis. I would recommend to those of you that have just listened to do two things. Number one, listen again. I know I'm going to, because there's a lot of good content that David has given us, a lot of good things to think about. I mean, it's good enough that I'm thinking, boy, I need to have David for another episode or two just to sort of unpack some of this stuff, right? But certainly, a lot of what he said around the idea of abiding in Christ and, you know, just being in your Bible. And for those of you that are listening to the podcast, because you really want to know God's will and you want to understand what this really means to find Great Commission fulfillment, David has given us a lot of good things to think about. So thank you again to David. The second thing I'd ask you to do is to share this episode with those in your social media circles, because they could gain a lot from this episode. And so I'd encourage you to share it as well. As always, let me recommend you call us as well. And on the request line at 303-335-9658, to be able to give us ideas for shows, to give us comments, questions, concerns about the Catalytic Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for joining us, and I'm already looking forward to having you with me on the 13th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org, and never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.